Strange, yet true stories. Tales from the light side, the dark side, and the other side. I'm Steve White. The Mandela Effect. A glitch. A tiny tear or shift in the fabric of time and space. The ever-expanding multiverse. Or just shoddy memory. However you choose to think of these occurrences, to the people who experience them, it can truly be a surreal experience. But I remember going to her funeral. This story was shared by a young woman on Reddit. When I was 18, my family and I moved from my hometown. I'm 26 now. A few months before we left, an elderly lady, a family friend and neighbor, a lady whom I'd known all my life and who often visited our home, passed away. She'd been a great friend to my grandmother before my grandmother had died, and continued to visit us after. She would have been in her 70s back then, and she died of cancer, which was diagnosed too late. She only survived maybe 2-3 months after the initial diagnosis. We went to her funeral. I can remember the service clearly, the burial, the wake, everything. Okay. So here we are, 8 years down the road, and as I've done since we left home, I've kept in touch with all the news from back home via Facebook by chatting to the friends I grew up with. Morbidly enough, I also go through the obituaries, which lists the deaths in my hometown and surrounding areas, so that I can inform my mom, who doesn't have Facebook and has never really warmed to social media, or the internet in general for that matter, apart from Amazon and eBay, that is. And let her know if any of our old neighbors have passed on. Well, on Sunday night, as I checked the obituaries, I saw the name of the woman who had passed away when I was 18, listed as a recent death. I double-checked and triple-checked the date, and her address as well, just in case it was simply another woman with the same name from the area. But no. The address was that of the lady who had died when I was 18. At the bottom of the obituary, as it does with many, friends and neighbors are requested not to send flowers or wreaths, but to donate the money they would otherwise spend on the same to a named charity. Anyway, I phoned my mom and told her how weird this was. When I told her, she just said, "Oh, poor old Betsy. That's sad. She was a lovely lady. So sorry that I lost touch with her in the past few years. I'd better phone her daughter, Sarah, and offer our sympathy." I was completely thrown and weirded out. I told Mom again that she had died over 8 years ago. I didn't think she properly understood my reasons for calling her, and that was the main reason why I called her, as I thought she'd be as bewildered and messed up as me. I recounted details of the funeral, right down to the clothes I was wearing that day. I still have the black dress and a box of old things which I intended to give to charity. I even dug it out and examined it and matched it to my memory just in case I really had lost the plot. And of all the other mourners there, how packed the church had been, details of the wake, what the temperature was that day. Mom told me that I was confused, that it had to have been someone else. And it must have been a death that had occurred quite a while before that, as no one we'd known had passed away in the months leading up to our move. Now, if I had been 8, as opposed to 18 at the time, I could well understand why and how my memories might be jumbled. But I was 18, an adult, and it was only slightly over 8 years ago. My brother and sister also think I'm half mad, as they can't remember her being ill or dying either. Granted, I've experienced some notable Mandela effects, as have my family and friends before, but nothing this personal, nothing that no one else remembers but me. I clearly remember the woman being ill. I clearly remember her daughter breaking the news to my mom that she had terminal cancer. I clearly remember the funeral, just as clearly as I can remember details of our move a few months later. Just to clarify, I've never used drugs, I rarely drink alcohol, and I've never suffered a mental illness. I have a normal job, friends, I'm usually level-headed and rational. I don't believe in stuff like the nutty conspiracy theories, Illuminati, and I'm still trying to find a logical explanation for my Mandela effect experiences. But this is something that's totally personal and defies all explanation. It's genuinely upsetting and unnerving. A drive to nowhere. In late November 1999, my parents celebrated my grandmother's birthday by taking her to the Andex Monastery in southern Bavaria, one of 16 free states in Germany, located in the southeastern portion. We lived in Königsbrunn, and my grandmother lived just to the north of us in Augsburg. Andex is about 75 kilometers from Königsbrunn and is famous for its beer and hospitality. There are lots of people who travel there for the day to have lunch, enjoy the Benedictine monastery, and the beer. After spending most of the day there, my folks decided it was time to head home and make the drive back to my grandmother's house in Augsburg. Now, back in 1999, the bypass around Königsbrunn did not yet exist, so the way to go back to Augsburg was to take B-17, which ran north and south in nearly a straight line. The road they traveled was also called Hohnstetter in Königsbrunn, and turns into Königsbrunner, and then Hohnstetten once into Augsburg. The towns of Königsbrunn and Augsburg blend together like it's one city with houses and buildings in between. No grass or farmland on that road. As they made the drive through Königsbrunn on this night, they saw the shops, the cinema, the two churches, and all the other familiar things in our town that had been there since their childhood. But then, the houses became fewer and fewer, and they were in the country. They hadn't taken a turn anywhere, they had only gone straight. The road was straight as before, but there weren't the familiar buildings and houses. They figured they had somehow missed Augsburg, although they couldn't understand how they had. A short time later, they saw another house, and as they got closer, a woman was coming out of it. Since they felt like they were lost, they decided to ask this woman for directions to Augsburg. The woman had never heard of Augsburg, or Königsbrunn for that matter, and even stranger, couldn't say what the place they were in now was called. They hadn't been driving that long. How could this person not even know about these places? So instead of driving around aimlessly, they simply did a U-turn and went back the way they had come. Now, as if that wasn't strange enough, they entered the town of Königsbrunn again, but not in the opposite direction. Instead, they were passing the shops, the cinema, the two churches, and all the other familiar things in our town in the same order as before. That couldn't be. They had done a 180-degree U-turn and traveled in a straight line back the way they had come. They were completely baffled. These things should be coming in reverse order. They hadn't looped around or taken a turn or done anything other than drive on the straight road. They continued their drive, and this time the road led into Augsburg. They dropped my grandmother at her house and drove back home to Königsbrunn, with no more unusual happenings. My parents have thought about this trip many times and still cannot come up with an explanation that makes any sense, though my mother does have a theory that my grandmother somehow wanted this day to last a little longer and somehow projected what she wanted to see rather than what was. Similar to what Eastern philosophers say about the world being only a mental projection. It was right there 10 minutes ago. It was November of 2004, and a new game had just been released that my friend and I were psyched about. It was called Need for Speed 2 Underground. This friend of mine was like a brother to me. We were into cars, gaming, and skating, and we hung out a lot together in our hometown of Walnut, California. So when the game came out, we made plans to go to EB Games at the Puente Hills Mall on Saturday to pick up a copy. On Saturday, I went over to my friend's house, we hopped in his car and drove to the mall. Once inside, we headed to the EB Game store, passing a GameWorks arcade. We looked in to see some people playing video games and the familiar sounds of any arcade. Nothing out of the ordinary, and we kept on walking and talking, passing the hot dog place that was across from the arcade. Once inside EB Games, my friend got in line and I started looking around the store for anything new or something I might have missed playing. We were there, at the most, about 5 minutes, when my friend comes up behind me and said, "Hey, let's go." It was not his ordinary way of saying that. Instead, it was said like, "Let's get out of here, quick." So I didn't hesitate. I put the game I was looking at back on the shelf and we bolted. Once out of the store, he started explaining to me why he was in such a hurry. He had gotten Need for Speed 2 for free. He said the game had already been paid for and was waiting for him in his name. My friend's name is not uncommon, really, but I didn't know anybody else in the area with the same name. I asked if maybe he had pre-ordered the game and had forgotten, and he said no. I could tell he was serious and that he had not forgotten this fact by his tone. We figured the employee behind the counter had simply screwed up. But then, things got even weirder. My friend stopped dead in his tracks, and he swung his right arm with the game in his hand to stop me. I looked at his arm, and then at him. His eyes and mouth were open in shock, and his skin had turned a pale white. I had never seen shock like that on my friend's face before. "What?" I asked. Then I looked in the direction he was looking. Where the GameWorks arcade was, or rather should have been, was empty. Not like there wasn't anybody playing the games, but closed. All arcade games gone. Sign removed. Plastic clear sheets covering the entrance and windows. It was as if the arcade hadn't been there for a long time. We looked around for about a minute or two to make sure we were in the right place, that what we were seeing wasn't an illusion. There was the hot dog place right across from where the arcade should have been. We both remembered no more than 10 minutes before walking by GameWorks and seeing people inside playing. We couldn't believe what we were seeing now. My friend said, "Let's get out of here." We hurried out of the mall, jumped in the car, and bolted. We talked about how weird that was, and if we really were remembering events correctly on the ride back to his house. We both remembered things the same way. There was an open and active arcade when we went in. My friend got a game that's been mysteriously paid for, and the arcade is shuttered and abandoned when we are heading out. My friend wasn't a believer in the paranormal. He was a pretty skeptical guy. But even he had to admit, that was pretty freaky. We didn't talk much about it after that. Over the intervening years, the mall has changed quite a bit, with stores coming and going. But not as fast as it changed that day my friend and I were there in November 2004. This has been another strange but true story. These last two stories were submitted to Strange But True Stories by viewers like you. If you have a strange story you would like to share with us, send us an email at strangebuttruestories2@gmail.com. Leave us a comment below and subscribe if you haven't already. Thanks to those who have. We appreciate the support. I'm Steve White. Until next time.